My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. We are all aware of the beauty of trees, the gifts of their bounty, and they're taking our carbon dioxide and giving us back fresh oxygen. But do trees also share with us spiritual, healing, and magical properties? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Kak Young, says that the magic of trees may bless us in countless ways. Kak Young has 3 doctorates, a PhD in natural health, an ND in naturopathy, and a DCH in clinical hypnosis. She's a licensed religious science minister and a producer and director with more than 30 years of experience in the television industry. Her website is kakyoung.com, and she joins me this week to share her wisdom and new book, Magical Trees, a guidebook for finding the magic in everyday trees using crystals, spells, essential oils, and rituals. Please join me in welcoming back Kak Young. Welcome, Kak.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, Victor the Voice.
And I am so glad that you came back with us. You have a brand new book, Magical Trees, which we're going to get into, and all of the wonderful work that and wisdom, especially the wisdom that you share with the world, Kak. So thank you so much. This is your 3rd time on the show, as I had mentioned.
The third time
you've graced us with your amazing and wonderful wisdom and experience. Our audience has grown exponentially since your last visit. And for those meeting you for the first time, please share your expansive path.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. I'm honored to be here. I think your show is full of magic and wonder, and it does a great deal of good in the world. I come from a background in show business. I was producer director, broke a lot of glass ceilings coming up the ranks. And my last job was VP of production and development for Universal Studios Hollywood. And then I took 20 years off to write some books, and I've written 27. I'm on my 28th right now. And I found that by researching and getting to the truth that I can grow my soul and become what I was here for, which is to take complex concepts and maybe even controversial ones and sift them down into language that everyone can understand. There's a lot of things in the world that people think, oh, it's great if we talk in complicated language, but I think that the simpler, the better. And let us all understand the truth. Let us all understand what's out there in the world. So I was enchanted by trees. And then my publisher, Brendan Knight, asked me if I would write a book about magical trees. And I said, sure. I mean, you always say yes to a publisher. So I said, sure. And then I began getting into the world of trees and the magic they bring. And it's very exciting. And I want to tell the world how important they are to us, the gifts that they bring us, and how we really need to make a tree part of our family.
Absolutely. And before we get into the trees and your brand new book, Magical Trees, I want to talk about my nephew for a couple of seconds. For those listeners who are not aware, I am the uncle of Kak, who is referred to as Mombly, Cat Spirit the Cat. And he is my nephew and she is his Mombly. How is my nephew doing?
Your nephew continues to hold up to his reputation. He is constantly doing something new. He's constantly chatting for me. And today he set up a meeting where we're going to talk about what he wants for Christmas. So, you know, I can't wait. And I know that I'll just sit down in a chair and listen to what he has to say. It's the most incredible relationship. He is absolutely articulate. And he came from a background on the streets of Los Angeles and into my home in Ventura. And he just decided that he was going to be my guru and enlighten me. And he's done that. And he does it every day.
And is he behaving himself?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, that depends. In his world, he's behaving himself. In my world, not so much. But he is fun, and he does listen, and he will stop. So I think that's a good thing.
Last time you were on, we were talking about your last book, Living the Fairy Life. Tell us a little bit about the fairy life.
Well, the fairy life, I have always had little beings and creatures in my life. And finally, when I lived up in Cambria for 10 years, I really got to identify that there were fairies out there and that I seemed to be attracted to them and vice versa. I mean, yes, I have an Irish DNA background, but all my life, little things have happened. And I even had some experiences when I lived in Hollywood working in show business where it was a bit paranormal. And I called the University of Irvine parapsychology and a department and talked to them about what I was experiencing and what was going on. They are very familiar with the haunted houses in Hollywood and some of the lore and some of the spirits that lurk. So they actually came to my house. They kind of tested things out, and it was them that suggested that this little apple doll that I had been given as a gift was actually a fairy, and that the activities that were happening in my house were from playful fairies and not poltergeist or any kind of apparitions that way. So I had that in the back of my mind. And then when I lived in Cambria, I had several experiences with fairies of the forest. We lived on 2 acres of wooded forest land. And it was quite amazing because I could identify it there. I think the air is clearer and the contacts are more open. So the fairies felt that they could come there. And I planted little fairy gardens for them. I made sure that they knew that they were welcome. So when I moved to Ventura, I absolutely did that. I created a fairy garden and I had a fairy door. And when we had the fire of 2017, the Thomas fire, my neighborhood was burned to the ground, except my house. We lost some of the orchards in the back, one side of the house, but the fire stopped at the fairy garden.
Who knew that the fairies were firefighters?
Exactly. I mean, there must have been some power because there's no reason that that fire shouldn't have taken our house. Every other house was burned down to the ground around us. I mean, everything. We were the only ones standing there. Now, talk about survivor's guilt. Every time I would drive up to my house and pull in the driveway, I would get these looks from the neighbors like, yeah, what's so special about you? And, you know, I could just probably stand on my front porch and say, it's the fairies did it. And I really believe that. I really believe that. I had a lot of crystals in one room and I had the fairy gardens in two places and none of that was burned. So, you know, there's some reason why the farmers in Ireland, if they have a hawthorn tree and it's a fairy tree, they will mow around it. They will not chop it down. There are roads that go around these trees in Ireland because the people really believe that there's a presence of the fae. And I certainly now live with them. I talk to them. I invite them in. I give them treats. When I plant nasturtiums for them, they're very excited because they can play underneath the leaves. Now, a lot of people are thinking, oh man, she is a whack job. But if you're open to it and you just look around, you'll see them because they're everywhere. They are the spirits that bring joy to our life and want to make us smile. That's why they do the little things they do.
So your new book, Magical Trees, a guidebook for finding the magic in everyday trees using crystals, spells, essential oils, and rituals. When did you personally first become aware of the special energy that trees share with us?
Well, I grew up in the Northwest, and you know, the Northwest is made in a forest. You just kind of the trees were there first, and then we come next. They're sort of like the earliest Native Americans, and you just get used to the trees. And there are tree festivals, and people are cutting trees, and there's firewood, and you are smelling trees all your life. You really are inhaling them. They become this diffused aphrodisiac, if you will, of pine and all the variations. So you grow up with that kind of magic and the sense that trees are part of your life and part of your neighbors' lives. And I think they become family members. And that's what's interesting to me, is that when you have trees and you respect trees, then they really do serve you. I mean, some of the gifts we get from trees, well, obviously oxygen, but when trees are planted in hot areas, they bring a cooling to it. They help with climate change and global warming. They have essential oils, many of them, if not in their leaves and berries, then in their bark and roots. They give shelter to many. They also can provide heat when you use their wood and twigs. And many of them are packed with medicines, and they are the source of a lot of medicines. The bark of the yew tree, for example, puts out Taxol, which is a very, very important medicine for stopping breast cancer.
In the almost 7 decades I've walked this world, I've been a tree hugger since as far back as I can remember.
Yay.
Those who don't get it use tree hugger as a put down. What would you say to people who put down us tree huggers?
Well, I say, you know, if that is associated with all kinds of other things, ways of life that they don't appreciate or approve of, okay, fine, but lift up your prejudice and actually connect with a tree. Trees will absorb your emotion and transform it and change it, just like they do with CO2. Their process is to take the CO2 and to turn that into a product for themselves that nourishes them. And then they give off the byproduct, if you will, is oxygen. And so the same thing can happen emotionally. If you are open to and experimental, go sit with a tree for not just 5 minutes, but sit there for 20 minutes, a half an hour, and tell your problems to the tree. The tree will take that sadness or that emotion that you have, and it will transform it for you. It will take it, and then it will neutralize it. So that's a magical thing that happens. I have heard so many stories from friends and fans of the book that have said, oh my gosh, when I was growing up, I had this tree and I had a name for it and I played in it. And then one day they came and cut it down and I was sad and depressed. And when I talked to my therapist about that, they said, well, that was a trauma for you. That was your best friend. And the people who are sensitive to what trees can mean, they understand it. They get the connection that we have. And we are like trees. I mean, the trees have the top part, the head part, like our head. They have a trunk, like we have a trunk. And they have roots, like we have feet that touch the earth. And so we are very similar to them in our shape and form. And that's an important way to understand how we are one with them. Our connection to the trees is important. You know, trees themselves have their own connective devices and network. Under the redwoods, for example, underneath the ground, they tell each other if they're sick. So if one particular tree needs certain nutrients, then the other trees scientifically will send them those chemicals that they need to help themselves. Now, that's a pretty magical thing in my world. But that's just naturally how they help each other. So if they help each other and we're like them, they're dependent on us and we're dependent on them, then why wouldn't that also be true with our connection to them? They can heal us. We can heal them. We can help them. They can help us. It's a reciprocal relationship.
You know that trees are magical. I know that trees are magical. How may people get to know and see trees in a more magical way?
Well, those who look, those who seek, those who are open to it, I think you can find out, you know, just look in your medicine cabinet. If you have any aspirin in there, that's salicin, and it comes from trees. So if you doubt that your headaches are relieved by a tree, then just really read up about that. That'll tell you. And the rest of the magic in the trees are what they do. And each tree has different things that it does. Some of them are hard. Some of them are soft. Some of them, they all have ways that they prevent disease within themselves, how they protect themselves from the onslaught of different bugs or even climate. Trees can adapt to climate change faster than humans can. And they just develop that layer of protection. So they have an internal and an external doctoring system, if you will, for themselves to keep themselves healthy. That's their consciousness. I mean, trees have a consciousness and they want to survive as well. They want to live and survive and continue. And we can help them do that, which is, I think, their gift to us, recognized in our gift to them.
Let's talk a little bit more about the healing properties of trees. You had mentioned salicin, which is salicylic acid, which is the basis of aspirin. What are some of the other gifts that trees give us for healing?
Well, the beech tree has antibacterial leaves, and we can use that for an antibacterial situation. Birch sap has betulinic acid. It's a cancer drug. Cedar has a mosquito repellent. Elm provides us with digestive help. Hawthorn berry helps us with tonics for the heart. Hazelnut has an amazing wound healing ability. And the linden tree helps with anxiety and ADHD. And the poplar provides the balm of Gilead. And that's just some of them. You know, it's the willow tree that gives us the salicin or the acetyl salicylic acid, which is in aspirin. So, you know, we thank the willow tree.
Many humans work to save trees. But how do trees also try to save humans?
Well, I think at a very basic level, people used canoes. They used a tree to get places. And also the stones of Stonehenge, the 40-ton rocks that were hewn out of the quarries in Wales were brought overland on trees. They were rolled on trees and ropes. 150 miles worth of hauling of these. And the same thing is true with the pyramids. It is alleged that trees were used, cedars really, were used to help them build the pyramids and bring those rocks up to the top by creating a roadway around the pyramid. And then when that was completed, they just took the roadway of sand away. But it was mostly the trees that helped them roll those rocks in place.
We have a tree in our backyard that is very, very sentient, and we often talk with her and thank her for being there. How may those who want to share this experience start their conversation?
I think that's absolutely right. I think you start it young because you feel that maybe you're lonely, maybe you're sad, maybe something's happened, maybe you've had a fight with your brother or sister, and you can go out and be by a tree. You're not by yourself. You're not hiding. You're just out there by a tree. And I think we learn early on, if we have trees around us, that we can trust them, that they are not going to hurt us. We build tree houses in them. We get to know them. We climb them. We take their fruit or their nuts, or we are with them seasonally. Trees really teach us about the seasons and what happens with Mother Nature. It's just kind of a beautiful ecosystem that we have with trees.
Is there a right way or wrong way to start that conversation?
Sure. You don't own the tree. You are a guest in the tree's surroundings. So I always suggest, well, my practice has been to approach the tree and say, hello, I would like to get to know you. And if I get a feeling of a welcome response, and 98% of the time you do, you just go approach the tree and talk to it and get to know it. And you can, like you do, thank it for its gifts. I sometimes take my book with me and I read to the tree. I say, okay, is this true? Do you do these things? I've had relationships with trees that have really saved me from a lot of things in my life that I would have felt bad about or sad about or hurt about. And I can just be by my tree. I mean, I have a tree in the backyard right now that survived the fire. And when I moved into this house 7 years ago, it was this little stickly, weak-looking ficus tree. Well, it is now 3 stories high. It is absolutely huge. And that's because I named it. I talked to it. I go out there and I read under it. I took some pictures with some of my books under it, and it was thrilled. I mean, it's really strange to say, I really think the tree smiled. The tree liked attention. I mean, don't we all? Doesn't everything in nature like a little attention? People who, you know, plants are people too. We talk to our plants. We play classical music for them, and they thrive. Well, this ficus tree is absolutely amazing. Every time I look at it, I think it's grown another foot. And the fire department comes around every year and says, okay, trim this, trim that, don't do that, or this is great. And I look at them and I said, this ficus is perfect, isn't it? And they look at me and they want to say, you really should trim that back. And I say, it's perfect, isn't it? It's perfect. They have all, for the past 3 years, they've come and said, yes, it's perfect. So there's something about that even the fire department recognized.
Not only are you sharing the tree's wisdom, but you're the advocate for your ficus tree. Thank you so much.
I am. And when I approach a tree that I don't know, I will ask its permission. I'll even ask its permission to take a picture of it. And then if I take something from the tree, I'll ask permission from that. May I have a branch? May I have some leaves? And then I'll make sure that it's a clean cut and that it doesn't distort the tree in any way, but it's a clean cut with a clean knife and clean shears. And that I take that and it's a treasure for me. I don't just break it up and crack it and do things. I really take it home it's a gift. So I'm happy. And then I usually seal it with a little bit of tea so that there's not an open wound on the tree. And then I will definitely leave something for the tree. I'll bring the tree some tobacco. I'll bring the tree something that I think it would like that is good for it. Sometimes I'll bring it a little fertilizer if I see that it's yellow. I'll just help it out a little bit. And I never damage a tree. I don't chip the bark off or carve my initials into it or any of that. I will just, if I want to leave something there with the tree, I'll plant a note or something in the ground around it without disturbing its roots. But I think the respect, if we all love to be respected, we all like our titles respected, we like our person respected. Trees are no different. They enjoy the respect and they respond to the respect. I mean, my little ficus tree, I said to it about a week ago, we had some winds and I said, are you okay? And it kind of looked at me a little bit and it was cold and it was that. I said, you'll get through it. It'll be fine. And that's all. It was a 10-second exchange, but I have relationships with my plants and my trees, and I have an orchard that I replanted. And people say, "You got avocados in the second year?" I said, "Well, yeah, because we chat with them. We appreciate them. So of course they flourish. You know, why wouldn't you?"
Absolutely. My guest is the magical Kak Young. Her new book, Magical Trees, a guidebook for finding the magic in everyday trees using crystals, spells, essential oils, and rituals. Kak, please tell our listeners where they can get this amazing book and find out more about you.
Oh, thank you. Well, you can find the book wherever you get your books. You can do Amazon, Barnes & Noble, just wherever you get your books, that's where it is. And my contacts, you can find me at kakyoung.com, and that's spelled K-A-C, Kitchen Apple Charlie, kakyoung.com. And my books are listed there, and I believe we have links to Amazon at this time there too. So you can contact me, tell me your story. I love to hear from people who have resonated with a tree.
Kak, I'm so joyous that you are branching out. Thank you for sharing all that with us. And we'll be back with more of Kak after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, the amazing Kak Young. Her new book, Magical Trees, a guidebook for finding the magic in everyday trees using crystals, spells, essential oils, and rituals. Kak, in the break, you were saying something about wanting to give me my Celtic birthday. So go ahead.
I do, because trees were very, very important to the Irish, to the Celts. And they would have most of their ceremonies under the full moon in an oak grove. So the yew and the oak were very important to the Celts. And they lived by their trees, and the trees were associated with certain times of the year. And that would determine, if you were back in those days, that would determine your place in the society and what you're going to do with your future, as well as your personality. So Victor Furman, you were born January 17th, so you are the birch.
Ah.
You're a birch, okay? And you would be known as the achiever. Your personality is that you're highly driven, you are a motivator, you are tough and reliant like a birch tree. Cool-headed and naturally confident. You are a born ruler. You're a skilled leader, and you brighten any space with your charm and quick wit.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with me. It makes me feel really, really good. I must say, you know, I am 25% Irish. My grandmother on my mother's side was a Fury, believe it or not. Her name was Fury, family name. So I do carry 25% of that Irish in me, and I'm proud.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. And your animal sign is the stag or the deer, and your crystal is the black tourmaline, which means you are grounding and balanced.
Which is fascinating, because I've been wearing a black tourmaline pendant for years.
You see, you know, you just can't make this stuff up. It's just, it's amazing. And of course, you'd be attracted to that. And of course, there's something about what's in our DNA, whether we have 25% or 99%, something in our DNA that translates and shows up in our lifetimes. And it's, you know, if we pay attention and stop and look and listen, then we're going to find all those things that just surface. So I'm glad. And I don't know, how did you feel about that description of you?
I thought it was rather accurate, but that would be bragging if I said that, so I'm not going to say it.
Well, no. I think, you know, everybody has different tendencies. And so I think I have found them to be really accurate. Whenever I'm on a show, I'll ask the host, and some of them have just been dumbfounded. So I love that. And I didn't do it. It's the Celts. It's just bringing that up. And I loved how they also had the OGHAM. It's spelled O-G-H-A-M, OGHAM. And they had the signs of the trees imprinted on sticks and sometimes on stones. And they would tell the future and be use them as divinatory items. And the OGHAM controlled their future if they wanted it to. They would say what the outcomes of battles would be. They would describe what the crops were going to be. And they really did portend the future in a really usable way for the Celts. It was a down-to-earth society. They weren't, you know, they had their priorities very, very clear. And women were equal. They were landowners and they were equal. And back in those days, you had your marriage renewable every year. And though the husband or the wife could say, you know, this isn't working for me, I'm going to move on. And that was that. You know, there was no hard feelings. There were no lawyers involved. It was just thanks for the memories and off they went, which is a pretty healthy way to live relationship-wise.
Emotionally, absolutely. That's a very healthy way to live relationship-wise. Let's get back to Magical Trees, your new book. You offer many wonderful ways and rituals for people to deepen their relationships with trees. Please give us a couple of examples.
Well, I think I really want the people to read the book and understand the rituals. I have written books about essential oils and about crystals as well. And so I bring those in so that we can really enhance our experience with the trees or bring whatever it is we do to the trees as well. There are rituals that you can do under a tree, with a tree, about a tree, in your family. You can bless the trees. You can do all kinds of things. But I really want people to understand what the trees are first before they start doing things like that. And I think if you want to have divination, definitely try the OGHAM. You know, get a set of OGHAM and look to see what they do. It's pretty simple to understand, but they're very, very true.
Are there trees that bring us clarity?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's a very individual experience. But for me, it's the magnolia. The magnolia, not only with its scent, but the fact that it blooms twice a year. Just how I feel around a magnolia. It's probably from some past lives or something. But I really do think that the magnolia, it's where I go to think. I go to a magnolia grove and that's where I need to think. That's where I need to figure things out. And I usually get the answers there. For some people, it's the redwoods. For some other people, it's the weeping willow out in the backyard. I think it depends on your personality. It depends on your psychological makeup and how much you are willing to trust. So in doing that, there are trees that bring you clarity. I don't know if you're talking about medicinally, but just the physicality of the tree, the one that you unite with, the one that you cotton to, that's really the tree that will be with you forever.
Now, we talked about the medical healing properties of trees. What about energetic healing? Are there trees that are natural energy healers?
Well, yes. In Africa, the baobab tree is absolutely that. It brings shelter. People can eat the leaves. It's a very nourishing tree. It has saved a lot of people from complete starvation. And the baobab tree is a very spiritual tree. It's very, very old. They grow very, very tall. And they really grow against what makes any sense from the ground and from the environment around it. But there they are, tall and sturdy, and they are worshipped. They are appreciated, and they are sometimes, I don't want to say that, sometimes they're more important than even the government in some African societies. They are responsible for life and death.
Are there trees that enhance romance?
Well, sure. I think, again, it depends on where you are living. If you love the forest and you love pines, you know, perhaps it's a hemlock pine that you fall in love under. Perhaps it's walking in the redwoods. Perhaps it is watching the trees change colors in the northeast. It depends on where you are and what you are accustomed to. I think trees that are gracious and that are part of the land and really seasonal, I think those are the trees that help you fall in love. I'm not going to go to the apple tree because that's got a lot of press about it. But I'm thinking even some of the fruit trees and citrus and mango trees, I think they're all romantic, and they can just add to your life by who they are and what they do and what they bring.
For those who are mourning the loss of beloveds, are there trees that offer consolation?
Again, what your special tree is, I think, is important. And I also like, there are certain companies out there that offer plant a tree and remember someone for the rest of their life, plant a tree in a forest. But there are companies that are just simple ripoffs in that arena. They just take the seeds and throw them out somewhere, and they don't go back and water them, and they don't nurture them. So you really have to pick a company it's going to cost you a little bit more, but these trees are grown from seed and seedlings, and they are planted and cared for and nourished and looked after. They're just not abandoned and somebody else takes your money and goes to lunch. These, if you invest in real companies that do the work of reforesting the planet, then they will plant something for your loved one, and that will grow up tall and strong and be what they claim. But I have separated those companies in the book and given you some places where you really can invest and get what you pay for.
You had mentioned magnolias. Do you have any other trees that are your personal favorites?
Well, I love the tropical trees. I love the plumeria. I have them around. I love the ylang-ylang, some of the, those trees and plants. I love those, and I love the jacaranda. Jacaranda is funny to say, and it's beautiful. And once a year, it puts on this highly vibrant purple costume. And when the blossoms fall, it looks like purple snow. I just love the jacaranda. And when I got to this house in Ventura, I had a small sort of weaselly looking jacaranda on the side of the house. And now it's three stories high and it's huge. And just because it knows it's loved. It knows I go out there and applaud whenever it blooms, and I keep it trimmed appropriately so the growth can happen correctly. And it's just the happiest trees. I mean, I have happy trees and I love them and I appreciate them and they appreciate me. I just planted a little olive tree 2 weeks ago and I said to them, okay, you're little, but you're going to grow up to be just like these other ones. And look, here are your friends. And I introduced everybody. And the almond tree that I planted looked like it wasn't going to make it, but now it's perfect. And I expect that next year it'll have almonds. So it's just, it's amazing. We all thrive when we're loved. We all thrive when we're appreciated, when our, all the things that we do and just who we are is applauded. things thrive. And it's just amazing to let plants show you that lesson over and over again.
Is it appropriate to name the trees that you fall in love with?
I think so. I name everything. If you name a car, name your trees. You know, I think you just call things by their name. There's a rule in screenwriting. If you have some people in a scene, but they don't do much, or they just have one line, you've got Officer One, Officer Two, Officer Three. And the new technique is to give them names. You just don't give them a number. You give them names so that when the actor is auditioning, that they will feel whole. They're just not a number. They're not just there, you know? And I think that's a really wonderful change. I think it's just lovely. And Aaron Sorkin, the writer, talks about that in some of the lectures he gives. And I think it really just gives honor to the project that you're doing and the people you're working with. So it's an honor for the trees to have a name.
And how in other ways may we honor trees?
Well, I think we have to get involved. Trees are disappearing at an astronomical rate. And there are companies and people who, Diana Beresford Kroger, for example, she has a PhD, and she's just one of those genius scientists that has figured out 10 types of trees that can save the world. And her organization goes around the world saving these trees, gathering seeds and seedlings so that she will be able to preserve for the future, in case the whole place just becomes deforested, that she will have the seeds and the seedlings in order to restore the planet and the trees on it. And so she's got the 10 trees that she thinks are very, very important to the world. And of course, it's the oak and the walnut and the redwood and the cedar and the baobab and the red mangrove, the teak, the mountain ash, the eucalyptus, the Tsuji and the Scots pine. So those are the ones that give us back what we humans need to survive. And she has over 50,000 seeds and seedlings now kept in her lab in Canada. And I just really encourage people to look at her Call of the Forest website, and also the podcast, the NCPR podcast that she has, and also a movie on PBS that talks about the forest and how important trees are. And she really gets into the science of it. She loves trees. She comes from a Celtic background, and she comes from a family of druids. So she's really been handed down the lore in some very, very interesting ways. So if you look up Diana Beresford Kroger, just like the grocery store, you'll find some amazing information that hopefully will change your life, because Diana can use all the help she could get in preserving trees. And we can get involved in our communities. We can get with tree groups. We can go out and help plant trees. We can bring trees to urban neighborhoods where they need shade. And it is proven that if you plant trees in certain neighborhoods, everybody is happier. It reduces crime because people are happier, they are cooler, and it gives a kind of a neighborhood feel to the place. So it's very interesting when you have ownership and trees are there living with you side by side. You can look up that research, it's there. And that's what I think really intrigues me, is that we have the power to change our communities. We have the power to help this planet. We have the power to save our Earth if we'll only put down our coffee cups and go do it.
Absolutely. My guest is Kak Young. Her new book, Magical Trees. We'll be back with more of Kak after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Kak Young. Her new book, Magical Trees, a guidebook for finding the magic in everyday trees using crystals, spells, essential oils, and rituals. Kak, should older trees, elder trees, be honored in a special way?
Oh my goodness, yes, yes. There are trees. Well, the oldest tree in the world is called Pando, and it's in Utah. And Pando is 14,000 years old, and it's many trees all connected at one root. And it has created all these roots of these little sprouts that sprout up. And it's sadly, because of climate change, the flora and fauna that come around it and that feed and give it nutrients are kind of, it's in a little bit of trouble. People are working to help it survive. It isn't gone yet. It's just, it hasn't continued to grow. So, but Pando is 14,000 years old. And then there are trees that are 10,000 years old and 9,000 years old right here in California. And it's very amazing. Those trees, well, they have names. The Grand Abuelo is one of them. They've been named. They're preserved. They're in little parks and things. And you know how people are. They get crazy and they'll go chop down a tree just like they did at the tour. They chopped down the great hawthorn that blooms every year on the 25th of December. But someone saved the rootstock and it's been replanted, and now it's walled off, it's guarded off. But there are many places with these old trees, and we haven't even found all of them. There are very old trees in England, very old trees in Wales, very old trees, like I said, in the United States, and very old trees in Asia as well. And people do revere them, and they are, you know, they have their little plaques and they have little ceremonies, and dating them has been dating them, carbon dating them, has been tricky because you have to really get into the tree to do that. And one old tree was ruined by someone who had good intentions, but a bad saw. And so it's a whole art of dating these trees, but they do have better ways these days than they did, say, 20 or 30 years ago. But there are old trees everywhere, and I'm sure we still haven't, deep in the forest, discovered some of them.
I was always fascinated by the fact that they said you could count the rings in a tree to determine its age. And with my mother's passing in 2020, a poem came through me. May I share that with you?
Oh, would you please, Victor? That would be wonderful.
The poem is called Circles and Rings. The path of great beauty in so many things, from atoms to galaxies, circles and rings. Natural wisdom that dwells there within, from naught to 360, that magical spin. We circle each other in gravity's dance, as Gaia circles soul, the solar romance, as Luna circles us in life-giving motion, drawing the tides and inner emotion. And the age of the oak is found in its rings, as in woman and man and all living things. And when the rings stop and life comes to an end, we'll all circle back and dance once again.
That is so beautiful and so true. Thank you for reading that, Victor. That was really heartfelt and magical.
Thank you so much, Kak. Thank you. Kak, is there really an enchanted forest somewhere, or are all forests enchanted?
Yeah, the latter. All forests are enchanted. First of all, creatures and beings live there, and they've lived there long before us. You know, the forest knows how to reseed itself. It knows how to protect itself from, you know, oncoming diseases or treacherous things, except the saw and the axe. So we have to be careful about that. But yes, all forests are enchanted. There are beings and creatures that live all over the world, and different cultures have different names for them, and they have called them certain things. You know, to be really cynical, a lot of the fairies and all of the beings have been made up by cultures for thousands of years, because I think that human nature wants to blame something. If something goes wrong, they need a scapegoat. So they say, oh, well, the fairies did it, or the banshees did it, or the these people did it. So I think that the negative parts of the creatures that live or that scare people is a combination of Hollywood and old lore and people needing to shift the blame. But the entities that live within the forest are protectors. They are helpers. There's nothing bad in the forest. You might run into the food chain if you could become a bear's lunch if you're not careful where you go. But that's, again, territory. And if we respect where we are and what's going on, then we won't run into the path of a hungry bear. And I think forests are entities that are magical and to be cherished, to be appreciated, and to be left alone. We can certainly walk in there in the light of day and enjoy, but be careful in the forest. It's same thing as going in the sea. If you're going to go down there where the sharks swim, well, guess what? Your chances are you will meet up with a shark, and that may or may not be have a positive outcome. So I think the same thing is with forests. Anytime we go into another place that is not our house, then we have to do that carefully, with respect, and an awareness.
You had mentioned leaving tobacco by that wonderful tree on your property, and indigenous peoples around the world have been practicing that gift of replacing or giving a gift back to the earth every time they've taken something with them. What would we give to the trees? What should we give to the trees?
Well, something that the trees will like. So what would the trees like? Like, sometimes I'll take a little fertilizer if I notice that the tree is having a hard time. I've even called the Park Service upon occasion and said, you know, I think you need to go out there and have a look at that tree. I think it has a beetle or, you know, tree mange, or it has something wrong with it, and I think you can fix it. So I've even done that, sort of taken care of them. But I just think when you give a gift, think of the person, think of the tree. What would it like? What does it need? Sometimes take it water. Sometimes it would enjoy that. Sometimes a tree in your front yard, put a little fairy garden around it. You can watch the children in the neighborhood go crazy when they see little fairy mushrooms and little fairy rocks and things. And it's just great. You can decorate a tree. But when you do that, make sure that you have its permission. You know, can I hang this on you? There's a wishing tree in England, and, well, actually one in Vancouver, BC as well, that is so laden down with all these wishes that are on paper and on material, that it makes the branches almost hit the ground. So we don't want to do that either, but we do want to give them gifts of what they would like. So it depends on the type of tree it is, the season it is, what you think they might like. And sometimes the greatest gift of all is just your presence and your appreciation and your hug.
Gratitude, the greatest gift we can share with one another and with the beautiful trees that so bless our earth. Her book is called Magical Trees, a guidebook for finding the magic in everyday trees using crystals, spells, essential oils, and rituals. Kak Young, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Yes, you can find me at kakyoung.com, and that's spelled K-A-C, like Jack, only Kak without the K at the end, kakyoung.com. And the book is available wherever you get your books, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you like to shop for your books. You can Google it and find out what's closest to you. But I really recommend that you do read this because it will change your life for the better. It will change our planet for the better. And this book makes a wonderful gift for the holidays, for Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or Christmas. Give this to some of your favorite friends. Pair it with a crystal. Pair it with an essential oil and make this a gift that we give back to the earth. And the tree book is good reading. It's fun. It's full of information and things that you never thought about. And I loved writing this book with all my heart. And I hope that I've conveyed that to you. Trees can save us and we can save trees.
Kak, you are a gift to all of us. It is a delight every time you join us and share your wisdom. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Victor. And thank you for your beautiful poem. My heart is still warm and happy.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the voice, Furman. Have a wonderful weekend.